have your Bibles tonight. You know, I want you to see in this passage, Malachi chapter 3. I want you to see tonight what God has for you. I hope every teenager, every adult will listen, because there are things in this passage that can help change your life. I want you to notice, I'm just going to quickly go over five reasons from this passage why tithing is good. Now, when you look at it, you'll notice in verse 9, he says, you're cursed with a curse. One reason to tithe. Now, listen, let me take just a minute, go back. I don't want to spend a lot of time here because most of you in this room know about tithing. It's not the thing that God's interested in the most. He's interested in your heart. He's interested in your being a testimony and a witness. The Lord uses us to give the money to send missionaries around the world. He uses us to provide a place for people to come when we go knock on their doors, invite them to church. So the money's important, but it's just a little symbol of your love for God. That's the reason young people need to learn to tithe. If you work, you learn to give money to the Lord. It's not because the church needs the money. Oh, the church might, but that's not the reason. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8, he says, will a man rob God? So he said, God says, I consider it as you're stealing from me if you don't give a tithe. Now notice, in verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Tithe is 10% of what you make, okay? 10%. So you just take that off the top. Giving that to the Lord is obedience. But I want you to notice, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Last week, we looked at a passage where over in Nehemiah, the Israel didn't tithe, and the preachers had to go out in the villages and out in the fields and make their own way. So there was nobody there to preach, and there was no one there to serve the Lord, to lead them. So they all went their own way spiritually. Now, you'll notice in verse number 10, he says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And I want you to notice back in verse number 8, he says this, Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Notice two parts. In tithes, that's 10%, and in offerings. If you treat the Lord the way you ought, when you get older, you're going to give more in offerings than you in tithe. This is going to happen. So notice he says he doesn't put an amount on the offering. But if you love the Lord and the Lord blesses you and you do the right things and you work hard, diligence causes blessings. Hard work causes blessings. Young people, you learn to work hard. You learn to show up to work on time, work till the bell sounds, and a little bit after, you learn to do people right that are paying you, and you'll always have a job and start to rise, because very few people live like that. And then if you do your job because you love the Lord and you're trying to please the Lord, and you have a smile on your face and you want to please your boss, all of a sudden now, that's a recipe for great success. And then God blesses you. So financially, you learn one of the great blessings, number one, is of tithing, you get rid of the curse of God. God puts a curse on you. If you'll notice, there are passages of Scripture where the Lord says, look, I'm going to show you that you can make all you want, but I'm not going to bless it. Notice, if you would take your Bible and turn to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai. Just back a few books. I'm trying to get back there. I'm sorry. And notice, if you would, Haggai chapter 1. Well, my brain's fried. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice if you would. Verse number 5. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's the curse of God. And so when you and I begin to tithe, we eliminate the curse. That's number one. Number two, there's the blessings of God. Turn back to our Malachi. Notice if you would. You eliminate the curse. Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse, so you eliminate that when you tithe. Number two, look at verse 10. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, and notice in the middle part, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there should not be room enough to receive it. If you don't tithe, you don't remove the curse, and you don't have the blessing of God in your life. Now, that blessing may be financial. It may be health. You know, if you're healthy, you don't have to go to the hospital, you don't have to go to the doctor, that's financial blessing. You know, if you buy a car and the car runs and runs and runs and runs and runs and runs, it's financial blessing. I don't know that we put the blessings of God in our life to the things in our life. He said, if you'll just give to me, now, God doesn't need it. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too. But you and I need to give it to eliminate the curse, to receive his blessing. But notice another thing, verse number 11. And I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, to get rid of the old rebuke of the old devil, to rebuke the old devil, his curse. So you've got the curse of God, you got the blessing of God, you got the curse of Satan. And so the old devil devours our monies. He devours our blessings. He wants you to have nothing. You're a child of God. He wants you to suffer. It was him behind when the Midianites would come in and destroy the fields of the Israelites. It was him that would say, I want them to have nothing. I want them to starve. That's the old devil toward us. And God says, I'll look at him and say, leave him alone. Notice verse 12. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land. In other words, the Lord's going to bless us, so that people look at it and say, you'll have respect in the eyes of people because of the blessing of God in your life. So people are watching. Oh, they're not watching to see if you tithe, but there's going to be a point in there when you have an opportunity to share with them about living right. And giving to the Lord comes up from time to time, and people understand that God has been good to you. They may never know why, but you know. And the last thing, it's not in the passage, but it's a benefit. If you tithe and give an offering, you must discipline yourself in order to do it, because it doesn't come natural. You know what's natural? Spend all you get. But in obedience to God, we learn a self-discipline to say, no, this part's the Lord's. And then I look at it and I say, no, this part's my wife's. No, this part's for the house. No, this part, I learn discipline. And then whenever I give this tithe 10% to the Lord, I say, Lord, no, I don't want to give you just 10%. I've told this before, but I remember just before I finished school, Susan lost her job and I lost my job. We were eating pickles and peanuts. That's all we had left. And they were in a canned jar from my grandmother. And that's only as we had that. And I was a licensed plumber. And I got a job. Finally, at the very last minute. And I was going to finish school. And I got my first check. And it was $67.50. And I started to write my tithe check out. What's $67.50? What's 10% of that? Brian? $6.75. Real simple. I just could not give $6.75. So I gave $7. That was an offering. $2.50 isn't much, but it was what I could. 3 weeks later, I was in Alaska working by the blessings of God, and I believe it was because of that $7. And my first check was $675. Did you know my old flesh paused to write that $70 check? And I had to back up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. By your grace, that won't happen anymore. And so I started writing out those checks, and then pretty soon, you know, the offering increased a little bit. And then I found out about missions. I went on a missions trip to Mexico, and God got a hold of my heart. And I went to this little village, reminded me of the Navajo Indian Reservation. Goats running out of the little mud house. And I said, who's going to tell these people? And I knew of a missionary that was going to go there and tell them. I said, I'll give to that. Well, that means I got to cut back on something. I got to do something different. You know what? I've never gone without. Because there's a God in heaven that says, I'll bless you. And you know, over time, your offerings become more than your tithe, and you don't think about it. You're just giving to the Lord, and you've set aside this portion of your income for the Lord's sake, and the Lord says, I can bless that. And he multiplies it. And he's done exactly that with me. Now, I want you to notice that he notices when you give little and when you give a lot. I want you to notice, if you would, look to Mark chapter 12. Turn your Bible to Mark 12. Mark 12. Mark 12. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 42. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. You know how much 2 mites are? 2/5 of a penny. That means you got to take a copper penny and cut it into 5 parts, and she gave less than 0.5 penny. But it was all she had. And notice what the Lord says about that. He calls his disciples, verse 43, and saith unto them, verily I say unto you, truly I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they that have cast into the treasury. You know why? It was proportional. It was a sacrifice for her. And that $2.50 was a sacrifice. That $7 for me was a sacrifice. But it wasn't a sacrifice. It was a joy. The $2.50 was a sacrifice. Or whatever it was. Because I needed the money. But I just couldn't do that to the Lord. I remembered the verse, tithe and offering. That could be a penny. It could be a dollar. It could be a $10 bill. It could be $1,000. But you'll notice, if you would, verse number 44, for they all did cast into their abundance. And that's what I'm doing. I have an abundance. Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't have tons of money left over. But with discipline, a little bit goes a long ways. And you don't learn discipline when you spend selfishly. It's one of the benefits of learning to obey the Lord. Now notice this. For they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. I've never done that. Just taken everything I had in the bank and emptied it with no promise of tomorrow. She did that. But I want you to notice something. God noticed it. And he calls disciples over and he said, I want you to see something. Do you see that little widow? She gave more than everybody here. God sees it. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to Mark 14. Notice, if you would, Mark 14, verse number 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And then you'll notice, if you would, and there were some that had indignation with themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? Now, the person that said that, we know later on, was Judas. And he carried the bag, and he stole from the bag, and he wanted that money for that alabaster box in the bag so he could steal it. Nobody knew the difference. Well, notice verse 5, for it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. Now, let me just say what 300 pence is. It's a year's wages. So is anybody here, because of your love for God, just gave a year's wages to the Lord? Don't have to raise your hand. I never want that. And God said, what she did. Notice verse number 9. I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel should be preached through the whole world, this also that she hath done should be spoken of a memorial for her. Now, why? I don't know the reason the little widow lady gave her 2/5 of a penny, but the fact that she gave it all meant that she was trying to do the Lord right. But the reason God said, I want what this Mary has done told throughout the whole world, is because she said, what can I give to the Lord that would cause him to know that I love him? Her reason for giving impressed the heart of God. I don't think the 300 pence impressed him. I think it was in combination with the fact that she looked for the greatest treasure she had. And that's the reason I say to every one of you in this room, give to God your greatest treasure. If it's money, then give the Lord money. If it's your children, give the Lord your children. Turn them over to the Lord. If you do that, God can take them and use them, and it's of great joy to you, because you've loved the Lord enough to give him your best. Susan was my best. Now, he took her, but I offered her to him. Lord, whatever you want that I have is yours. God just wants the thing you love the most. And he says, I want that told throughout the whole world. Now, let's back up and take just a minute. Why give an offering? The offering is what was sent Brother Buford to Uganda. It's not the tithe. The Lord says the tithe takes care of this building, takes care of the needs here. But the offering, that reaches the world. And so that's the reason I'm saying to you, look, I don't know what one person gives. I've never known, and I don't want to know, because that's between you and the Lord. But I can just tell you, you're missing the discipline that God will put in your life if you don't tithe. You're missing the blessing of God. He's not removing the curse from your life. He's not going to rebuke the old devil. And there's not going to be people around that are going to say, wow, I wonder why God blesses them so much. I have more than I should ever have. But I do know why. It's the blessing of God. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. Now, I just want you to keep in mind, I don't preach on money often. Matter of fact, this is about as much as you'll ever hear me preach on money. But it's right here in the passage. And I want you to be blessed of God. What you do with it is your business. But I encourage you to give like you love the Lord. You cannot outgive him. It can't be done. Now, you must use discipline. God doesn't want you to give your house note to him for tomorrow, for next week. He doesn't want that. He just wants you to listen and feel the touch of God and do what he wants you to do. Now, let's change gears. Notice, if you would, verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, where? What are you talking about, Lord? What have we spoken so much against thee? What do you mean our words are tough against you? Our words are stout against you? Well, notice what they did. Verse 14, we mentioned it last week, when they said, it is vain to serve God. Now, that is offensive to God. For anybody to say, it's not worth it to serve the Lord. It is worth it to serve the Lord. There's nothing, teenagers, you can do with your life better than serving the Lord. Not one thing. And if God would call all of you to the mission field or all of you to serve the Lord in full-time service, it wouldn't be enough. I just want you to understand, consider what the Lord wants to do with your life first. Because if you choose your own direction, you'll not have the blessing of God on your life. Now, he's not going to call everybody there in that youth group to the mission field, just like he's not going to call everybody in this room to the mission field. But he calls everybody to open your hand and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'll do what you want me to do. Don't think of your plans. It is worth serving the Lord. Oh, he's not talking about here. They're not talking about serving the Lord as a preacher. The preachers were Levites. They were born preachers. They were born into a family. And so some of them did different work. Some of them were responsible for the music. Some of them were responsible for this or for that. But the preachers maybe, there might be a prophet here and there that was called of God. But that was very rare. But you'll notice here he said it's vain to serve God. He was talking about the common people. He's talking about people that weren't Levites. They were saying it doesn't pay to serve the Lord. In other words, you don't get anything out of it to serve the Lord. I could not stand here tonight and list you the benefits for serving the Lord. The hand of God upon your life, the love of God in your heart, the peace of God in your soul, the answers to prayer. I couldn't even begin to list them all tonight. But I want you to notice what happened in verse number 14. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? What good did it do? Profit. What have we been advantaged by doing what God said? Let me tell you the one advantage. Look here. You please the Lord. That's worth it. Because one of these days, everybody in this room is going to stand before God. Now look, if you would, in verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now I want you to get that. Now, let's take just a minute. Those that feared the Lord, those that had a respect for the Lord, those that gave because they loved the Lord, they didn't talk about it, but they talked about their serving the Lord. They talked about worshiping the Lord together, doing what the Lord wanted to do. Folks, there's a reason we have visitation. It's so we can tell people about Christ. They may not want to hear it, but wouldn't you want to go to Brother Buford's door and share with him the gospel? Well, those same kind of kids are all over Herndon and Reston, and there's nobody going. Just because nobody else wants to go doesn't make it right. To serve the Lord, it's being said today, it doesn't really pay to serve the Lord. Be an engineer. Joy of heart does not come from being an engineer. Joy and peace of heart. And when you get older and you turn and look in the mirror, the satisfaction that you see in the mirror that comes when you've served the Lord cannot be bought. You have to decide if you're serving the Lord or not. But you can't let yourself say or think that it's not worth serving the Lord. And notice verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Now, they got into a group and they talked about what it was like to fear the Lord and to love the Lord and to serve him. And they just talked about him. They talked to each other. Notice, they talked to one another. And the Lord hearkened. The Lord heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So young people, when you're talking around, look, there's no one that likes extracurricular stuff more than me. I mean, I like hunting and fishing, and I like football and basketball and volleyball and tiddlywinks and shooting marbles and you name it. I like to do it. And yet, I'd rather think about the Lord a lot than to do all those things a lot. Because I know one of these days I'm going to see him. And he's writing in a book of all those people that think about him. I want to be in that book. I'm already in the book of life. I'm in the book of life, names written in blood, Jesus Christ's own blood. I'm on my way to heaven, but I want to be in the book of people that thought about the Lord. But that means I've got to take my mind off of other things so I can think about the Lord. So there's sometimes, I know, I'm glad that I have a little piece of land that's a little bigger than a normal lot, but I can get out there and I can walk around. I go out at night, I'll open the door and I go around and just talk to the Lord. And I'll just thank the Lord. I like it even when it's cold. I put on my sock cap and a coat, and I'll still walk around. I said, Lord, how can I tell you you're too good to me? I never want to stop thinking of the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of serving him. I'll close with this. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 73. Notice, if you would, Psalm 73:5. Now, does anybody know who Asa wrote this? Does anybody know who Asa was? Asap, however you want to pronounce it. Does anybody know who he was? He was the chief musician for the tribe of Israel. He was the one that led the music. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, there's joy, joy. I mean, he was the one, there were all the songs leading to him. And he said this, verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There are no bands in their death, and their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. You know what happened to Asa? He got a little covetous. He got to look into the things he didn't have and the things that the wicked have. And his thoughts were, notice, look down in verse number 14, verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. This is what Israel was saying. Malachi chapter 3. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain. It was worthless to serve the Lord. To live a clean life is not worth it. Young people, it's a lie. Notice what he said. And wash my hands in innocency. I've kept my life clean. I've tried to live pure. It was worthless. You know, it was worth keeping myself pure. I remember when I looked at my wife and we got married. And I looked over to her. We had been married a few days. And I looked over to her and said, you know, sweetheart, I've never kissed anybody else but you. I saved myself for you. You know, that meant something to her. Asa said, didn't pay to be innocent. Didn't pay to be pure. Look at the wicked. Keep reading. Verse 14. For all the day long have I been plagued, chastened every morning. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He said, it just hurt too much to see the wicked get blessed and me get cursed. But then he said, I walked into the house of God. Verse 17, till I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. You know what? 1 second past death, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm in heaven. I've stepped through the gates of pearl. I've seen the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I can say, Lord, I'm thankful that you love me, Lord. No one else did like you. And could I just see your hand and just say I'm sorry again? But most of all, I don't want to look at him and say, or even have the thought, it wasn't worth serving you. As a Christian, forget me being a pastor. I have to serve the Lord when I'm not here. When I go to the grocery store, I have to serve the Lord. When I go to the car dealership, I have to get my car worked on. I have to serve the Lord. I'm a testimony or not everywhere I go. I want you to understand, you serve the Lord every minute of your life. When you're at work, you're a testimony every minute of your life. Is it vain to you to do what is right? Asaph said, it just hurts me to think about how much I've tried to do what's right and how little I get back for it. Until I went into the house of God, and he said, oh my. Notice what he says. Verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. I was convicted. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before God. I was like a dog that's selfish and doesn't care about anything but food. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me with thy right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me up into glory. Verse 28. But it is a good thing for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works. It does pay to serve the Lord. Tonight, do you believe that? Are you willing to serve him at home? Are you willing to serve him at work? Are you willing to serve him anywhere he wants? That's what he wants. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and just play. I'm not going to have Brother Brendan lead tonight. We're just going to stand to our feet in silence. If you need to come tonight, just talk with the Lord. Maybe just say, Lord, I haven't been tithing like I should have. I haven't been giving like I should have. I haven't been giving an offering like I should have. I haven't been serving you like I should have. Lord, there may be some Bufords around my house. There may be some at work. Help me to see them. Do you understand tonight that there's a world that's lost? And the world says, and many Christians say, it's vain to serve the Lord. But it's not. It's right, and it's a great blessing. God says, I will put my hand of blessing. Prove me now if I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And there's no timetable on that. Maybe months and years, but God never forgets. He notices a penny. He notices a fortune. Tonight, we're going to stand to sing in just a moment. We're going to stand to let the pianist play. And if the Holy Spirit's touched your heart, maybe tonight you'd come again and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'll serve you anywhere, any place, any time. Could I challenge you to do that? We're not going to sing long. Oh, we're not going to play long. But we're going to stand to sing. I'd urge you to leave tonight with peace in your heart, knowing you've told the Lord it's not vain to serve you. Lord Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, would you touch our hearts tonight? Lord, help us to realize there's a lot of Bufords around. Somebody's got to knock on their door. Somebody's got to give to send a missionary to them. Lord, their world is lost. Father, would you help us to realize, to know it pays to serve you. Bless our young people. Cause them to deliver their future to you. In your name we pray.